Hello?
Hi, this is Megan.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's so cute. I heard whispers.
Yes, two-year-old whispers here.
That was just really cute. It's like, I know that sound. So cute. How are y'all doing? How cold is it?
It's cold. It was.
I bet it is. I'm
only
so
in
sorry.
The teens yesterday.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, I have no room to complain. I will be quiet.
How is it where you are?
It's not. It was like in the 30s this morning, so I really should be quiet.
It's all relative.
It is. I'm not used to it, so I get, you know. Okay,
right.
I see other people joining us, so hang on. I'm just trying to see who's here.
Hey, it's Julia.
Hey, Julia. All right, this is Wednesday at 11, right?
Yes. I was able to make it this Sunday. Thank you.
No, I'm just making sure I got it right. Okay, so I got Julia, and who is it? Just Megan.
Gina from Indiana.
Hey, Gina. And Megan, when are you usually? What group are you usually in?
I'm usually on Tuesdays.
Okay, Tuesdays. Ah, there we go. I found you. Okay. There's got to be an easier way. I swear next year I'm going to come up with an easier way to do this. I'm not sure what, but I'm going to have to spend the time to figure out some logistical way to make this easier. So, anybody else here yet? Looks like we may have a small group today. That's nice. So while we're waiting for other people to join us, let's start with check-ins. What's going on for people? How's it going? And how's the last couple of weeks been? And what are you celebrating? Is D&D Adams, is that you, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay. I keep telling it your name, but it's not capturing your names very well. So who's got something to celebrate?
Well, this is Julia. Maybe I shouldn't pipe up now, but I haven't been on the last one or two calls because of my schedule change, and I feel like I've had a great reversion. I feel like I've totally taken a step back, and Leah, my daughter's 8, but yet it feels like she's 15, like we're, you know, eye-rolling, and we're just not getting along at all. I know.
Okay.
I'm sure it's my fault.
Well, but you know what? You get extra points for saying, okay, this is what's going on, and you're back, right?
Yeah.
Because when you were paying attention more consciously, it was moving in the right direction, right?
Right. It was getting better.
Okay, so you get extra points for just acknowledging. And this is going to happen even when we are engaged and present. And, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
We're all human and we go through cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Especially
yeah.
ADD. ADD
yeah.
goes through major cycles. I mean, it's all about
mm-hmm.
regulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's how are you dealing with that? And so the question that comes to me is, how are you dealing with that? You said reversion, right?
Yeah.
Are you dealing with it differently than you were before?
Right. And I'm a lot more stressed and a lot more trying to control what I can't control. And it's just putting a wedge between us. So it's not going well. Oh, so I'm ready.
Okay.
Get back on the wagon.
So can I just, while we're waiting for a couple more people to join us, can I just coach you around this for a quick second?
Pretty please, yes.
Okay, because what you just said was, you know it's really about your reaction.
Yes.
Okay, so what...
Yeah, like I don't think she's changed.
Right, it's how you're responding to her.
Right.
So what's the one thing, just sort of high level, if you look at it, it's like if I would do this differently, things would be better. What's the one thing?
I think if I could do one thing differently, it would be to, I hate to say lower my expectations, but not be so attached to an outcome. Like to remember that, you know, she's 8, but sometimes emotionally she's more like 4 or 5.
Right.
And I forget that, and I kind of expect her to act like an 8-year-old.
So it's about, and we don't call it lowering expectations. We talk about it in terms of setting realistic expectations.
Okay, yeah, because I hate to say that.
Yeah, no, but lower. So it's a realistic expectation that an 8-year-old girl with ADD is sometimes going to behave more like a 4 or 5-year-old.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Like I want her to be more responsible than she is. And
yep.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So somebody else has joined us, somebody from 404 area code. Who's that?
It's Lisa Baston.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Hi there, good.
Good. Okay. So we were doing check-ins. Anybody else want to check in? So we know that sometimes we go forward and sometimes we go backwards. So we're looking for celebrations or challenges. And so, Julia, that was you, right, Julia?
Yes, that was me.
Okay, just making sure I remember right. So Julia is seeing things moving the other direction, and so really looking at that issue of setting realistic expectations again to begin to shift that. Who else has got a check-in or a celebration?
This is Megan. And we've actually had a really good week and a half, so I want to knock on wood.
Yay.
But Diane had recommended that I listen to the Love Languages webinar.
Yeah.
And that really helped in finally being able to identify my son's love language. I've, you know, always wondered what it was and never been able to pin it down.
Oh, good.
And because I, you know, I read that book when he was like 4, but it just wasn't obvious. But it turns out that it's acts of service. So I think I've really been able to change my reactions to his demands. And his demands have become more like they're getting to be more like polite requests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been helping. And also we started he was having a lot of challenges with keeping his hands to himself in the mornings and the evenings. And so we started a reward chart for that, and he's working on getting some Scholastic books out of the flyer that he really, really wanted. So.
Oh, I love that. Can I just share with you that, you know, and I'm actually probably going to do a webinar in April on setting reward systems. Scholastic books were like my greatest source of joy when those things would come home, because that's what my kids would use their points for. We did this point system, and they could use their points to buy books. But the deal was that they could get, you know, 1 point would buy them whatever for toys. But if they bought books, they got 4 points for the price of one. So I really, really was encouraging reading. And really, really encouraging their love for books. So Scholastic was like my best friend, because they could use points, and I would buy them Scholastic books.
That's great.
Yeah, so just sharing that one. So good. So things are going well, and he's asking for things nicer.
Yeah.
And you've identified that his love language is acts of service, which makes you less resentful and more inclined to respond to his requests.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Great. So let's take one more celebration before we get into today's topic.
Well, hi, I'm Cheryl. I'm celebrating my daughter getting in trouble again at school. And I haven't missed any of the calls, but I kind of feel like I've taken a step back too, it just happens. I don't know what was really going on, but she kind of got sent to the dean's office and pulled out of class for calling out too much and not stopping, not self-regulating, I guess. And she couldn't really explain it to me very well, and I've tried talking with her teacher, or I'm frustrated because they don't tell me I have to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We've definitely been here before, and she had that thing again where you look at me in the eyes when I'm talking to you, and like she totally can't do that. You know, she can't listen when she looks at you. And I guess her teachers just, I don't know, it's like they never learn, it feels like. Or, I don't know.
So I hear a lot of things, the frustration.
Yes.
But I want, and I hear that you feel like you're not handling it as well as you have, and that's fine because we're going to have, again, you get permission to be human. But I also want you to remember that no matter how good you parent or how well you parent, these kids are who they are, and they're going to go into the world, and they're going to deal with stuff, and you're going to have to respond to it. You
mm-hmm.
can't control whether she's blurting out or impulsive in the classroom, right? You can help her learn to manage it over time, but that's not a mark of bad parenting. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else on the phone hear what I'm saying? And have
yes,
because Cheryl's not quite buying it, right? And I mean, and don't get me wrong, Cheryl, I mean, you and I have known each other a long time now. There are moments where you handle it beautifully, and there are moments where you're challenged to handle it. But this isn't about you. This is about her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it sounds like you've also identified very clearly that part of the problem also is that she's got a teacher who does not understand her disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that you're going to need to advocate for and do something about, because this is not a kid that you can say, look me in the eyes, and this is not a kid that is being disrespectful by not looking an adult in the eye.
Right.
And that's period. And if you need to go back into the principal to remind him of that, then that's what you got to do.
Okay.
But that is not your failure as a parent.
Thank you.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I know that you only partly believe that, and that's okay. But
right.
The part of you that does, I want you to hold on to it. And when you need to, like, you know, hear my voice in your head. Because that, I'm telling you, I know you. You're not perfect as a parent, but that one's not you, babe. Right? So let's move. Let's identify what our challenges are this week, and let's move into today's conversation. So what do you want to take aim on this week? I just want to make sure I've got everybody here. Got Lisa, Cheryl, Julia, Gina, Megan. Got everybody. Okay. So where are we taking aim this week? And we have a nice small group, so I want to remind you and encourage you to participate actively. Don't wait for other people to talk today. Okay.
Well, this is Julia. I want to take aim on my part of those realistic expectations.
Of realistic expectations. So get a little bit more specific.
Okay. So to have realistic expectations with...
When?
I want to say all the time, but that... I don't know, when we're put into a situation where she might be embarrassing.
Okay. So it's about, so it's really the 3 to 5 challenge. It's like, it's setting expectations about what is appropriate for her behavior.
Uh-huh.
Emotionally. Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, well, so can I give you a really fast example and then maybe
Absolutely.
That will help you help me?
Yep.
So, 2 quick examples. You know, last week we went to a harp lesson. She finally has something she wants to do. I've been trying to find an activity for her, and I used to play the harp, so we have one. We went to a harp lesson, someone else's lesson, to observe. They're not cheap, you know. We're in someone else's lesson to watch, and she's, like, disruptive. And I'm like, Leah, stop, put that down. You know, and you know, she's just like, no. Like, and she, like, refused to not be disruptive. She doesn't think she's being disruptive. She's just, I don't know, being her. But like that was really frustrating for me, you know. And then like another example would be, and every morning when I get out of bed, you know, she just lays down, like she won't get up, and I have to like dress her like a doll, you know, and she just won't, she won't, you know. And I guess I feel like she should be, even though I know it's hard for her to awake in the morning and to activate her brain, I know it's hard, but it seems like she's choosing to, like she's not even trying. Like she's just like, ah, I'm out, you know, give me the blanket, I'm going to roll over 5 more minutes. Like she just won't even cooperate at all. So they're two big sources of frustration.
Okay, so what I would encourage you to do is to be more. I get that you realize that part of the result or the response is how you respond.
Uh huh.
But take aim on one of those. Is it how she is how to manage it when she's in a place where she may be disruptive, or is it getting her up and dressed in the morning? Take aim on something
okay.
you can really impact. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, let's do the getting up in the morning, because that's it's 5 days a week thing.
Right. And is it getting up or getting dressed?
It's getting compliant. It's getting dressed. Just getting dressed up and out the door. So.
Well, so that's a lot of things. So what's the take aim on one piece of it. Is it,
okay.
Is it getting, you want to start with getting dressed?
Let's say when I bring her downstairs in the morning, she always lays down at the island on the bar stools and, like, wants a blanket over her and won't, like, sit up to eat. So that's that, probably that right there. Like, just
so
once
eating
she's
breakfast.
Downstairs in the kitchen. Yes, let's say eating breakfast.
Okay, great. Now, can you – so once you target eating breakfast, then you can begin to address it. You can come up
okay.
with strategies and an approach. Setting
okay.
realistic expectations is going to be part of your response.
Okay.
But not the only part. Okay?
All right.
Okay,
okay.
So eating breakfast. So who else? What else are we taking aim on? Megan?
I think I want to continue to take aim on the keeping your hands to yourself, because pretty soon the reward chart is going to end, and he'll have earned his 3 books that he's been wanting. And I guess I just kind of have to see what to do after that, if we need to continue, you know, making a new chart for more
mm-hmm.
days, or if he's in good practice of keeping his hands to himself and we don't need to do that.
Okay, great. So keeping hands to himself. Okay. Who else?
This is Lisa Algo. I feel like we are a family of overreactors, and I'd really like to model the correct behavior when something doesn't go quite as planned, like if milk is spilled on the table or, you know, something of that nature occurs, that
mm-hmm.
that we as parents remain calm about it and figure out, you know, what's the next step, which is, well, somebody go get a towel and let's clean it up. It's not
right.
to, you know, gasp and like, it really, you know, it's really not a big deal. Because, you know, all of us could use work on that. But my kids are only 4 and 6, so, you know, that's sort of age appropriate for them. But, you know, I realize that it's not really for Herb and I, so we need to work on pausing and, you know, remembering in the grand scheme of things, is this really something to get worked up about? Or is there a next step we could all take and it's done?
Great. So really, so similar to what we were just talking about, what you're identifying is taking aim on your response.
Yeah.
Right? So,
mm-hmm.
And in Julia's case, we talked about, let's get specific on what you're responding to. And so what I hear you saying is it's about how to handle it.
Yeah, it's about, and the thing is, like, I can't it's mostly when things happen that are surprising, you know, like somebody, you know, knocks a complete jug of milk over, or, you know, and that, I keep using that, but it's, you know, there are other things that happen throughout the day that are like that. And so your natural response is when you get drenched in milk to, you know,
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Is it like, so I love that it's when surprising things happen, right?
Yeah, so, that's right, yeah.
So, but is it always something like physical like that, or can you think of an example when it might be something different?
Typically, because our girls are so physical, it's also when, like, Jane and Emma were getting rough in the tub yesterday with each other, and Jane just smacked Emma with her feet, just full on, you know, a full body blow. And that's kind of surprising. And but you want to remain calm as a parent. You know, you're angry because – and so that's what I'm saying. Like, we have to develop some kind of technique that even when we're surprised by something, we've got to step back and take, you know, deal with it calmly.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. So when surprising things happen.
Yeah.
How to handle it. How
right.
to stay calm. So the, uh-huh. the goal here is to stay calm when surprising things happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Sometimes it takes a minute, but that's what I think it is, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. So so that was Lisa, Julia, Cheryl, Christina, or Megan? Oh, Megan, we got Cheryl or Gina?
This is Gina.
Okay, Gina, then Cheryl. Go.
Maybe it's taking aim a moment. Oh, my dogs are barking. Let me let her out. And I don't know if Cheryl wants to go. I apologize. Hang on a second.
Okay, Cheryl, go on, and then we'll come back to Gina.
Okay. I'll take aim on, I guess, talking with Jenna's case manager maybe, or I mean, I've already kind of emailed her teacher, but there were two teachers involved. And I don't even know the other teacher. She's like a, because they do team tots, and she's in special ed. But I'm not sure if I should start with the case manager or just the teacher.
So what I'm hearing is it's about advocating for Jenna around what?
Around this particular incident, but this is really typical. Or, you know, we've been through this before sort of thing.
So see if you can specify the incident. Is it about her impulsivity, or is it about the teacher's response?
The teacher's response.
Teacher's response to her behaviors.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay. And Gina, are you back?
Yes, I'm sorry. We have construction going on in the neighborhood with new homes, and my dogs just have been going crazy.
That's totally fine. So what do you want to take aim on?
Well, I think I'm going to take aim on my kids' response when they argue. You know, my boys are 9 and 10, and they are very competitive. And I get that, but it's when they argue and use words they shouldn't be using, and, you know, just trying to make sure that they understand when you say things like you hate each other or calling each other idiots and stuff, that it's just not kind no matter how mad you get at each other. So that's what's
been going
on. So it
sounds like you want to set some expectations around how to argue, how to fight fair.
Yeah. And I don't know how to do that.
Okay. So, great. Did I miss anybody, or did we get anybody? Everybody? Okay. So I'm noticing, and somebody has joined us. Donna, you've joined us. Donna, are you here? Hello. Okay. So what I'm noticing about what everybody took aim on today and you know, sort of full transparency, is that it may or may not tie into what our topic is for the day. So So let's sort of go into the topic, and then we're going to see see how it relates, and see if we can find the connections. And it may be that we can. It may be that the focus for today is going to be different from the results. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So last week we talked about asking for help, and we've talked about all of the different parts of the model. We've talked about activating the brain, parenting positively, setting realistic expectations, and using systems and structures. And we've talked in the past about self-care, but today's topic is a little different, but it's sort of tying into self-care. It's about putting your oxygen mask on first. And, you know, Diana and I have had some interesting conversations about, you know, the model is circled in self-care because we know how important it is for parents. And because when we don't take care of ourselves, when we're not doing things for ourselves, we're not getting clear about those priorities, that the impact on the whole family is so clear, right? The cascade effect. So we want to talk about oxygen mask in terms of what do we need to do today to take care of ourselves, but also in terms of what refreshes our kids, like, because there is a modeling piece here. So Diane was telling me that when we first started talking about this concept, she heard the concept. She remembers the first time she was on an airplane with a little child in tow, and she heard them talk about put your oxygen mask on first. And she had almost this visceral reaction to, no, I can't do that because my child is more important. And she really had to sort of process it out with herself and think through, no, really, I can't be there for them if I'm passed out, right? So my kid really needs me to have that oxygen coursing so that I can get them cared for. But it's sort of, as parents, it's hard to think that way because we feel like we want to give and give and do everything for our kids, right? We want to make sure no matter what, that they're okay. So we tend to be focused on the needs of those around us. But the truth is that putting some attention on our own needs actually helps them in many different ways. And I was actually coaching somebody this morning who was, she's got all of these issues on the agenda that she wants to work on that have to do with communication with the family, with her husband, et cetera. And when I said, what do you want to coach on today? It was really about organizing her office. And I sort of pushed a little bit. Are you sure that's what you want to focus on? Is this really, you know, part of this larger agenda? And she said, yeah, because I'm so stressed. And when I'm stressed, then I can't communicate with anybody. So this is really about taking care of ourselves so that we can be there for them for the long haul, and so that they can learn what it looks like to take care of themselves, right? Because that modeling piece is so critical. So, you know, in the workbook we talked about, what do you need today? And what I want to open up for just a little conversation here is, what's happening for all of you in terms of self-care or putting your oxygen mask on first? And where is it hard for you to do? What's coming up as we talk about it? Go ahead.
This is Julia. I'll go. I know with a shadow of a doubt what it is. I feel like I've been really great with exercising and taking care of myself physically, but spiritually, I don't feel like I have been allowing myself the permission to take that time to do my quiet time and to get centered. And really, I think my own frustration that I have with my daughter comes from lack of just me getting centered myself and, you know, focusing on, you know, like I have my own shortcomings and things, you know, why am I so focused on where she's falling short? You know, I've got my own stuff to work through. So I have to remind myself, probably what you said was absolutely true, that if I take care of myself, because like I need that to fill myself up, to have the capacity to do with what I do in my daily work, you know, and to be a mom and a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just like, you know, frustrated myself, then that's going to be compounded when I deal with someone who knows how to push my buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go about it with peace in my heart. You know, I probably come at it with from a source of like anger, from unmet expectations.
So what's the impact?
Yeah, just a wedge, a total wedge. I mean, she's 8 years old, and in my mind, I'm thinking, if she's this way at eight, what's it going to be like when she's, you know, 16? And so I'm the outcome is I am catastrophizing the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I'm not, you know,
I call
I'm
it
not
fearing forward. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not seeing her at her very best. Like I'm not imagining her succeeding. I'm not imagining her flourishing. And even saying that makes me want to cry because I'm like, oh, what a big, what a miss on my part, a missed opportunity. So
I want to invite you right now to reframe that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what
mm-hmm.
else is it besides a missed opportunity?
What else is it besides a missed opportunity?
Because up until now, that's where you may have been, and here's where you are now.
So, I mean, I could say, well, that was then and this is now. Like, I've done the best
yeah.
I could do what I knew in the moment.
Yep.
So,
now
I have a greater awareness that quiet time absolutely must come for, like really by me doing my quiet time and honoring that, I am putting her first.
Yeah. And so what will be the benefit to her of you taking that quiet time for you?
Yeah, probably a more open, loving mom and a better relationship. And then I think it's a upward spiral from there. You know, it will help her to relax, too.
How so?
Well, like when those expectations that I kind of put out there are not there, like if she doesn't feel that, then I think she's more at ease. And I think she's much more cooperative. Whereas
mm-hmm.
when I'm like, she like puts her feet down and like resists it. And then it gets worse, so it goes in a downward spiral instead of a cooperative, happy spiral.
Mm-hmm. So it's likely to increase her cooperation as well because she's
yes,
feeling
really.
Like she wants to help. Right, so weren't we talking earlier about language of love, right? Who was talking about language of love? Megan. Right.
Yes.
So when you realized that his language of love was acts of service, what shifted for you?
I just didn't get so annoyed so easily because a lot of times it feels like he's asking us to do things that he could easily and should easily do himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized it's not really that he doesn't feel like getting his own Kleenex. It's that he feels if we do it for him, he gets love from that.
Right. So what they get from what they experience with us, whether it's getting them a Kleenex or being calm and patient, whatever, is actually a gift to them. And it comes in some way or another from how we look at it or how we approach it.
Right.
Right. So I love that awareness that you had that if you can't imagine her flourishing, then that's a missed opportunity. But when you shift that, it becomes an opportunity now, right? Now you have an
mm-hmm.
awareness that helps you see that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations we have, just as an aside, is that when we look at an 8-year-old and they're not doing this, and so then we fear forward, and what if they can't do it at 18 and 28, and oh my God, they're never going to make it, right? Whereas,
right.
you know, it's probably not unreasonable for an 8-year-old to be dropping potato chips on the floor, you know?
mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and she's my first child, and I've never been around children, so I don't even know what is normal. You know, but my 4-year-old can do more than she can. I mean, he's 4,
yeah.
and so I'm like, well, even my 2-year-old can go get her shoes, you know, and so they're something, I guess.
It's not that he can't, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's not that he can't. It's just that he's asking you to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, sometimes you're going to say yes with love, and sometimes you say, I can't do it right now. Would you do that for yourself, please? And you can do it when you do it without the fear, right? Without the resentment, then it still continues to empower him. So who else about, what else came up for you about the whole put your oxygen mask on first self-care concept? Because that was a beautiful thing you shared. Thank you. What else is coming up? Where do you stand in your own way?
This is Megan. The way I stand in my own way is by staying up too late and not getting enough sleep. So then I'm crabby the next day and not patient enough. And so I'm trying to get more sleep, go to bed earlier so that I can wake up earlier and be more calm in the morning, and then be able to be more patient the rest of the day.
Okay. So what's standing in your way of getting to sleep earlier?
I'm just a natural night owl. I've always been a night owl. My energy level peaks at like 10:30 p.m., mm-hmm. and that's when I want to start doing things. And I also love that the house is quiet,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like free to finally do things for myself. And so I'll get busy, you know, cleaning out a drawer or reading a book. And it's just hard for me to stop, so then I stay up too late.
So the other thing I hear in that is that you are craving some quiet time in your home without other people.
Right.
So it's another place to look for self-care. Is there a way to find some time to create some structure, even if it's on a weekend or whenever, some daylight time for you to be alone in your house?
There's not too much, but I do have a babysitter for my 2-year-old that I've started to take her there every once in a while for, you know, if I only need her 2 hours, then I'll actually take her there for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Just carve out a little time like that.
So that's the place that I encourage you to look, is that if you are craving that time alone, part of self-care is, yes, you need to get sleep, and part of it is that's something else that's looking to be honored.
Right.
Right. So how else can you get that without losing sleep?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I totally can relate. I'm a night owl, and I need more sleep. And I love it when I have my house to myself. So I'm really with you. When my husband sold his business and came to start working with me and start working out of the house, it took me a really long time to get used to just having somebody else here. It's like I used to have all this space. So I get it.
Yeah, my husband works from home too. So
yeah, you never get
to understand. Yeah, when he has meetings and he's out of the house, then I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah. I used to beg my husband to please take the kids on a weekend and just go somewhere. I don't care where you go, just go anywhere. Please go away. Everybody go away. So who else? Anything else on the oxygen mask and self-care? What are you becoming aware of? What about you, Lisa?
It's the same for me. You know, a good day starts the night before, and you know, getting to sleep. And I was doing really well last year with going to bed earlier and getting up and exercising. I hadn't done that in years, ever since I had kids, and I've fallen off. You know, I blame the holidays, but it's really me. You know, I've made a commitment to myself to start again on Monday. That's my D-Day of, okay, in bed by a certain time, and then up, exercise. Because you know, my girls see me exercise, like you were talking about the modeling, you know, of self-care. And then it, when I'm exercising, when I have a good enough amount of sleep, then I'm much less likely to be surprised by surprising events. I know it starts with me. I just got to make myself do it.
Well, so here's, I want to shift you from I've got to make myself to do it to ask you what's important about it to you, right? Because you're not likely to do it if you just got to make yourself. But get clear, what's important about it?
Well, it's important because, you know, I had kids later in life, and I want to be around for my children, not just around, but around in a helpful, positive way. You know, I take the model of my own mother who didn't take care of herself as she should. And, you know, she's 67 years old, 68, and, you know, it's like she's 10 years older than that. So I see that, and I don't want that for my kids. I want, you know, I want to be able to help them when they get older, if they have children. You know, so I'm taking kind of that long. I guess I probably should refocus it to more immediate because it's such a long-term thing that I'm thinking about. If I had more immediate gratification, it might make me more likely to do it. I think it's just cold and lonely at 5:30 in the morning.
So what do you love about rather than cold and lonely, what do you love about time by myself, right? Like, what do you like
time,
about it?
Yeah, I do. It's time by myself. It's also, you know, I like how it made me strong. I like the changes, the tone, the muscle tone, you know, so all of those. And I've just got to get back onto the wagon. So, you know, I did it very successfully for months after months after months, and it's just, I got to get back into that. So, but I agree, the time to myself and, you know, the feeling of strength that it provides. I mean, and that's why I've made a commitment to do it, because I remember that.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, anybody else? I think Cheryl, we haven't heard from you, and I'm curious because, you know, we've been coaching for a while now. So, and this is not a new topic for you, but do you see it differently over time? Are you there? Is everybody there?
Yes, I'm here. I had it on mute.
Okay. No, I just somebody
sorry.
Somebody had to get off the call, and then I was like, wait, am I losing? Is everybody dropping? It's weird. Sorry.
So,
your oxygen mask on first. What comes up for you?
Yeah, I've been really thinking about that I need some quiet time, too, I think, to rather than getting sort of stressed out about what's going on with Jenna in school. Because I've already made the contact with her teacher, the initial teacher, and it would be good for me to just have some quiet time and to myself, and then I can, you know, I don't have to deal with it today, or like I can have the conversation with someone else at school tomorrow or the next day, or, you know, I can take care of it. I don't have to stress out about it today, I guess.
So I was just coaching somebody this morning, and the assignment I gave her was on her list, you know, she was working on the to-do list, whatever, was to distinguish between what's urgent and what's not urgent. And we have this tendency to make everything urgent, and that stresses us out. And if everything is urgent, we can't do it all, right? And then we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and that stresses us out. So what I hear you doing is giving yourself permission to say, yes, I'm going to take care of it, but it's not a crisis, right? Same with what you're referring to, Lisa. Yes, I'm going to clean up the spill, but this is not a crisis. It's just a spill, right? Even my kids hitting each other in the head accidentally is not a crisis, right? Hitting themselves directly, like intentionally with a shillelagh, that's a crisis. Got to address some of that competitive behavior that you were talking about earlier. Not you, Lisa. But to be able to distinguish and not make everything a crisis and to be able to take our time in managing things, that's a beautiful form of self-care. Right? So did we did we miss anybody? I feel like we missed somebody, but I also know somebody had to leave early today. So, is there anybody else who has a comment or thought anything about this concept of self-care or putting your oxygen mask on first? I want to share the analogy. I think I've shared this with you before, but in case I haven't, a friend of mine who's a therapist shared it once years ago, and I loved it. It's the idea of a rubber band. A rubber band keeps its elasticity by being in a normal state. When you stretch a rubber band, you have to release it back to its normal state. If you keep it stretched for too long over time, it breaks. And the same is true for us human beings. If we keep ourselves stretched for too long without a break, without releasing the tension, we're going to break. We're going to snap. We're going to yell. We're going to cry. We're going to whatever it is, however breaking looks for us. So we really want to remember that we're make sure that we're doing what we need to release that tension so that we can continue to have the elasticity we need to be responsive. And Lisa, I love the analogy that you brought, not the analogy but the story, because it's not just being able to respond to them now, but it's being able to respond to them and have a healthy, long-lasting relationship with our kids, right? And so, and that's really the goal of all of this, is to still be in relationship with them 20 years from now and have them not be living in our basement at the same time. Right. So there was another story. I had a busy day. I was talking to another client this morning, who was really having a very, very hard time and really sort of needed to, before we got into the coaching, really needed to sort of vent it out and have a little bit of a meltdown, which we all have a right to do every once in a while. And really what she was realizing was that she's been doing this a long time and she's tired of it. And so I want to speak to that for a minute, because a lot of us have kids who are, I mean, some, like Lisa, your kids are still somewhat young, but some of us have kids that are 10, 12, 14, 16 years old, right? And so we've been doing this for a long time. And it wears on us. It's exhausting to be hypervigilant, constantly attentive, going to meetings at the school, advocating for our kids, negotiating all of the pieces we have to negotiate. So the other piece about putting the oxygen mask on is about knowing that we're in it for the long haul, right? And that we have to pace ourselves, because it gets exhausting. And that part of the goal here is to begin to transfer that responsibility from us to them, so that by the time they're, you know, 15, 18 years old, they're the ones handling it and we're supporting them, whereas it starts off with us handling it and helping them learn to. So it's a transfer of responsibility over time. And we have to keep that oxygen flowing for us to be able to do that, because this does take some time. These kids take longer to grow up than their peers. So we're in some of these stages longer than we see our friends in with their kids. And that can take its toll, right? It's sort of frustrating and builds resentment and a little demoralizing at times. And that's just the nature of the kids that we've got. And so when we can sort of be mindful of that and really make sure that we are oxygenated, you know, that we are caring for ourselves, because we're doing some of these harder, more intensive phases longer. Does that resonate with people?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. So let's get back to the topics that we started with. And as I say, today's topics may or may not resonate with oxygen mask. But let's just go through them and let you guys start. So is there anything that you've gotten from this conversation already, like what we focused on already, that helps you with some clarity around the topic you identified? So, and it sounds like, Cheryl, I heard you saying in terms of advocating for Jenna, yes, you want to do it, and you sort of gave yourself permission to pace yourself.
Yes, and what you just said, like, I really realize or have some clarity of just how tired I feel about, you know, this, that, you know, she, less than a week, she had two adults say to her, show me respect, you look me in the eyes, and, you know, it's like, it's so wearing, you know, like, she's supposed to go to girls camp in the summer, and it's like, well, I can't, you know, I'm all worried about that too. Like, she can't spend the whole time because she's going to have one of these episodes and the adults aren't going to know what to do and it's going to go bad. And, you know, it's that whole.
Right. So really pacing yourself, really knowing that you're just, you're going to respond to whatever happens, that it's not a crisis. It's not like this is the first time this has happened. It's not going to be the last.
Right.
She's going to learn how to respond to it in the world, and she is stepping more and more into becoming capable of managing in the world, right?
Yes, and it was really helpful to hear. I'm in it longer than a lot of my friends are. You know, she's been in this for a long time, and it's not the end, I'm sure. And she'll learn it. She'll just be a lot older. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Right. So who else? Gino, you were talking about setting expectations around how to fight fair. What did you take from this conversation that helps you with that, if anything?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. That's why I'm saying it may not be applicable. But
yeah. But as I was listening, you know, one thing I did realize recently was, and how it relates more to the topic of today, is that I needed to spend more time with my girlfriends so that I could have more adult conversation. So I went out to dinner Saturday night with a friend, and then I made some lunch plans this Friday with another friend. And I realized that helps me kind of like with my oxygen mask. So I can go and I can
right.
talk to someone else other, you know, other than my husband. And so, yeah.
Right. So here's what's coming up for me about the whole fighting fair thing. And here's where I want to challenge you a little bit.
Okay.
Is to not assume that they're just going to be competitive, but to begin to look at that and ask yourself, how can I foster less competition and more collaboration between these boys? So I know that the oxygen mask doesn't necessarily address that, but so, you know, I just want to take this little coaching privilege moment for you for a minute and sort of give you an
okay.
inquiry to ponder on this topic. Because I think that, and this is my bias, I'll be honest, but what I've seen that really helps with our kids is when we create and foster a family environment of mutual support. And competition can be fun, but competition can also damage relationships if we let it go too far. So I want to challenge you, if you're willing to take the challenge, to just pay attention to how the competition is showing up between your boys. And begin to just, for this week, don't do anything necessarily. Just begin to pay attention to what's important to you and what do you want to foster? What are the values you want to communicate? How do you want that relationship to show up? And then we can figure out how do you begin to teach them how to do that. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, it does. I have been paying attention, you know, to what the issues are between them. We do know, excuse me, that they need their space. They have shared a room together. We are in the process of putting together a fourth bedroom so that they will have their own space.
They can each have a room. Right.
Yeah. So we know that's one issue. The other thing, it's silly stuff, but it's like so one plays basketball, one plays hockey. So they compete, like saying how, oh well, hockey's better, no, basketball's better, and then it just goes from there. And even from their clothes, oh, no, Adidas is better, no, Nike's better. And it escalates. To me, it's silly stuff, but they just constantly compete over everything. They'll be the best of friends, and they'll be the worst of enemies. So,
It sounds like you are paying attention to it. And if you ever would like to have some additional coaching on it, let me know. But it definitely sounds like you're aware of it, and that's what I would. The question I would ask is, how do I foster more mutual support amongst these boys, so that they're cheering each other on in their sports instead of competing for who's got the better sport?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so Julia, are you still here?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So how does all of this help with eating breakfast?
Well, I mean, the only thing I can think of, but it probably is a good one, is just back to me honoring my quiet time will help me not to get as frustrated in the morning when she just lays down and has no concept that we need to go to school at a certain time.
So,
I don't know. I mean, I'm open.
The other place to look, and Diane was talking about this the other day, is what about her oxygen mask? Like, what does she need to begin? Because she's having a hard time getting her day started, right?
Yeah.
So
That
may be a place to look. It's like, wow, and Lisa said it so beautifully that the morning starts the night before, right?
Right, right.
So to have a conversation with her around what's going on for her. It seems like it's really hard for you to get up and going in the morning. And let her be part of the conversation about how to get her going. Because right now, you're dressing her. It's still all about you. She doesn't own it as her job yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to begin to shift the responsibility from you to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so asking her, wow, what does get you going? How do you get yourself up and moving when you're excited about, you know, like, what's the motivation for her?
Mm-hmm.
My son uses peppermint oil in the morning sometimes because that'll help wake him up. But
yeah. It
only works if he sees it as his job to wake up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the place here, is to engage her in the process. And sort of pay attention to, like, what does it look like for her to put on her oxygen mask to get up and going in the morning?
Okay.
Does that help?
I've asked her kind of that before, and I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere, but maybe I'm not asking it. I mean, she's only eight.
Like,
in a way, I don't know if she even knows.
No, she may not know. But what I want her to begin to see is that it's actually her job, not yours.
Yeah.
Right. And so right now it's how can I, and I'm not saying you're saying this language exactly, but it's like, what can you tell me so I can help you move in the morning? Because I need you to go to school, right, to get up and get going. Instead of, it's really hard for you to get up and get going in the morning. I'd like to try to help you figure out how you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you hear that? It's a very subtle language shift.
Uh-huh.
But we want her to begin to see that it's actually her job, not yours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I would suggest peppermint oil. peppermint oil, shower.
I have tried that, but
she
got really mad.
So she's got to choose it. But so she's got to choose it. She's got to be saying in the first place, okay, I know I got to get up.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to want it in some capacity first.
Okay. Well, I'll try that. She's just super resistant to everything I say. And I'm sure it's the way I'm saying it or that languaging. So, I mean, I've come to the conclusion we need to go to bed earlier, you know, but maybe she hasn't come to that conclusion. But she's just resistant to everything. So, it's been really tough. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'll see what she says.
I don't remember. Are you PSS Plus or no? I can't remember.
No. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then who did we miss? Megan?
Yes.
Keeping hands to yourself. How does that relate?
Well, I have found in the last week when I've been getting more sleep that when there are problems with the kids, that I can handle it more calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they respond to it better. So instead of yelling, I can take a more positive approach, like, look at your chart. Look how many smiley faces you have. You've been doing so great. Let's get another one. Okay, hands to yourself. You know, that type of talking that just, you know, gets them to listen better than hearing me yell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So even the little things like them keeping their hands to themselves, you're going to have a better impact if you are taking care of yourself.
Right.
Fascinating, isn't it?
It's a giant circle.
It is. It sounds counterintuitive, but like in every one of these scenarios, you can see how your oxygen mask impacts even their behavior. And if not, like Cheryl, we were talking about, it may not have anything to do with her behavior, but it then influences how you can respond to it.
Right.
Right. So Lisa, we were talking about the family of overreactors.
Yes. Yes.
Which I love.
I think if I can help Herb and myself to reframe our day every morning to acknowledge that there will be surprises that inevitably happen, you know, just to be kind of not on the lookout for them, just to be prepared. Hey, it's going to happen, but we've dealt with things before. We can deal with whatever comes our way. But to be able to do that, we've got to have enough rest. We've got to be in the right frame of mind. You know, and as one of the other callers mentioned, you know, we've got to use the right language to motivate them to maybe prevent as many of these surprises as we can. And it's exhausting work, as everybody says. It's just, you know, coming up with ways to motivate your children or, you know, different things to get there, to redirect them. It's tiring, but, you know,
it is tiring.
You're more able to do that if you're better rested.
Exactly. Well, and so here's the inquiry I might pose for you, not inquiry, but a question for you to just sort of write down and post up in your kitchen or something. The question is, what surprising thing is going to happen today?
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Right? Just set the expectation that something surprising is going to happen every day. And if we could begin to turn it into an adventure instead of a panic.
Right.
You know, I've sort of gotten used to the fact that something is going to break or flood or break or spill or, you know, we
right.
actually keep this large container of rag towels, full-size towels,
mm-hmm.
and I have like probably 10 of them in my laundry room.
Right.
Because things spill all the time, and it's like we don't even think about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's towel, you know.
Right. Yeah, because
so
you want everybody.
Go ahead.
Well, the ultimate goal is to get everybody working together as a unit, as a family.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a spill, you know. Everybody knows where to run and get the towel and come help. And
right.
And that's the goal, you know. And,
exactly.
And if everybody's terrified because mommy and daddy are overreacting, then that doesn't help anybody.
So true. Great. So we're sort of at the end of our time. I want everybody to answer all four questions for yourself. What did you focus on today? What aha or clarity are you taking from today? What commitment do you want to make, and how do you want to set yourself up for success? So take a minute in your own workbooks to answer those. And let's just leave today with sort of a parting, whether it's your aha or your commitment, just a bottom line of whatever you want to share, like either this is what I'm taking away or this is what I'm committing to. So I'll just go down and make it easier. Julia, you want to start?
I'm committed to honoring my quiet time. I think everything will spill from there.
Beautiful. And Lisa?
I'm making that sign right now.
Brilliant. And Cheryl?
I'm committing to quiet time too, but I wanted to say something real quick about the spilling, because my ADHD kid spills all the time, but my other kid doesn't, and he always gets upset with her. But I shared your story, Elaine, about that you guys have so many spills, you have all those towels, and that just made it okay, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was like, I said, that's what ADHD people are like. They spill a lot. It's normal, you know. And so my son saw that, and, like, it made it okay. And, like, that's just what she does, and she's going to keep doing it, and it's okay. Nobody has to get upset. So
I
just
love
get a towel, like, yeah. So your story was really helpful.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we were kids, my brother used to spill so much, we called it pulling a Kenneth. And it was like this family joke, and we didn't really mean anything about it. It turns out when we became adults, I found out he was really hurt and offended all his life, and he hated that term. And nobody knew because nobody was intending to make fun of him. It was just like, it was sort of how we accepted it, but it still hurt his feelings. Mm-hmm. So I like that what you're saying is just normalizing it. It's just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. So, and thank you for that acknowledgement. I appreciate it. Gina, what about you?
Committing to help my boys be more supportive of each other.
Beautiful. Okay. And again, if you want some help with that, because that's definitely an area I've spent some time focusing on, let me know.
Thank you.
And Megan, what about you?
I'm committed to exercising more because when I get exercise, then my body naturally gets more tired and it's easier for me to go to bed on time.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Great. All right, everybody, as always, you guys rock. Thank you for your commitment to yourselves and to your kids. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks. I encourage everybody to get on the forum and share what's going on in your world. Keep using each other as your support, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye.